speak to you in the name of God. Amen. It matters a great deal. It matters a great deal who tells the story. For example, after I was grown, I discovered that my sisters had known different parents than I knew. At least they told a different story of our family than I remembered. Different rules, different expectations, different hopes. Or to jump from families to world history, were the events of 1776 a grand and blessed liberation movement, or were they a shameful rebellion against the lawful king of England, God's anointed ruler? It depends on who tells the story. There's nothing new about that, but this viewpoint is everything approach to life has become even more fashionable. If there is no objective story, as some folks say, we end up with many stories, all trying to be heard, believed, and determined, competing for influence. Carol Gilligan became known for noticing that almost all studies of moral development of children relied on boy subjects. Therefore, she argued, the criteria for moral reasoning are all male. Consequently, our ways of measuring virtue and moral competence do not reflect the experience of girls. So she wrote a book called With a Different Voice, which was her attempt to explain her findings. Even the central story of our faith, the story of Jesus, has come under suspicion by this viewpoint is everything approach. After all, many gospels were written, but only four included in the New Testament. There's a gospel of Thomas, a gospel of Mary, a gospel of Peter, a gospel of Judas, many others, but only four of them in the New Testament. Other leaders of the early church wrote letters and documents similar to the ones from Paul we have in our New Testament, but they were not included. In that sense, only certain versions of the truth about Jesus were allowed to be heard in the church, and the rest were excluded. Now, many centuries later, loud and insistent voices throw their versions of the story of Jesus into the airway for us to hear. Feminist Bible scholars seek to speak the suppressed stories of women in the Bible. A friend of mine, an African-American pastor, showed me an African-American study Bible that traces the biblical facts and stories that carry the narrative of African-Americans. The late Yale historian John Boswell wrote several books taking issue with the standard traditional Bible story of homosexuality. There's no end to alternative stories, and it matters a great deal who tells the story. That is especially true in the case of the gospel from Luke, which we heard this morning. This is Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount. Apparently, only Matthew and Luke knew this bit of the story because Mark and John never mention it. If you're like me, you know Matthew's version better. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, blessed are the merciful, and so forth. Addressed to, you know, generic third persons. All the Beatitudes allegorized and, in a sense, their urgency domesticated. Matthew generally portrays Jesus as a new Moses, the fulfiller of the law. So, just as Moses received the law on top of the mountain of God, Jesus went up the mountain to give his rendering of the law. That version is heavy on poor in spirit, hungering for righteousness, purity of heart, peacemaking. Furthermore, for Matthew, there are only blessings, no curses, no woes. It's a high moment of spiritual insight given to the disciples who came to Jesus. But Luke's Jesus only goes up the mountain to pray. Coming down from that high place with his close disciples, Jesus stood on a level place, a place for the feet, says the Greek. A level place. Imagine a marketplace with great crowds gathered. People came from all over, even foreign places, to hear him and to be healed by him. As the one on whom the Spirit of God rested, remember his baptism, remember his going to the synagogue in Capernaum, opening the scrolls and reading them, and saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." As the one on whom the Spirit of God rested, Jesus came to an expansive place in Luke's gospel, where the Spirit of God could flow freely before he began to speak. And when he did speak, he looked up at his disciples and he said, "Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are hungry now. Blessed are you who weep now. Blessed are you when men exclude you." In this version, nobility and allegory have been replaced by poverty, hunger, weeping, slander, and ostracism. Moreover, the rich, the full, the laughing ones, those of good reputation, are condemned. Most disturbing of all, the address is direct and unavoidable. You. You. So, do you like this version? May depend on who you are. I probably prefer Matthew's version. Many of us do. It's easier to digest for us who are relatively rich and relatively full and relatively happy and relatively of good reputation. But the church has kept both viewpoints in the New Testament. The official story is woven of several strands, and that multiplicity of tales is both our glory and our frustration. Today we hear Luke's version. And if that version is difficult to hear, it may just be a sign of the power in the story. In 1993, not long after I graduated from law school, I attended a symposium at the Yale Law School on the way stories are told in law. There was an impressive array of scholars from Yale and Harvard and Stanford and Columbia and other distinguished law schools. Most of the speakers addressed the problem of viewpoints in court cases and legislation and legal institutions themselves. One memorable speaker said simply that the Supreme Court was never able to overturn the separate but equal doctrine until one of its own justices was an African American, Thurgood Marshall, who knew the story of discrimination in his bones. But the comment I remember best was spoken by a Yale faculty member responding to one of the formal papers. The presenter of the paper had suggested that telling stories is different from analyzing problems, and that a story approach to law would allow more voices into the conversation. The responding person then said, "I know that when I hear a good story, my analytical mind is placed on the shelf for a while, and I am brought into the world of that story." Listen to Luke's story this morning. It is different from Matthew's story. It may be more disturbing and harder to digest. At some point, we will entertain a preference for one version of this story. But if you do nothing else, just try to listen. Listen to Luke. You may find that poor and hungry and weeping and outcasts are not so far from your own life. Amen.